Hello and welcome to Jibe Talkin', the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and in this latest edition, we're off to Sardinia for the Louis Vuitton Trophy, and we talk to Karol Jablonski, skipper of the gallant runners-up, the Synergy Russian sailing team, who gave Team New Zealand a real fright. We also talk to Guy Salter on ICAP Leopard's latest record attempt, this time the Atlantic Crossing, while Yachting World's Matt Sheehan goes for a spin on the world's fastest sailing machine, Lydrocopter, and catches up with skipper Alan Thibault. But first, our world-famous Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Team New Zealand come from behind to win the Louis Vuitton La Maddalena Trophy, beating surprise finalist Synergy Russian Sailing Team. Germany's Jörg Reicher's Mini wins the Trophy Marie-Agnès Perron. Yves Le Blerec wins the return leg of the Vendée St. Petersburg race. Australia's Gotta Love It 7 wins the 18-foot skiff Europeans on Lake Garda. In the Normandy Sailing Week, Oman Sail Renaissance with skipper Rob Greenhalge wins the Far 30 class, and Italy's Paolo Chan's Team Italia begins its defence of the Career Match Cup title this week. Now, there were some real surprises in Italy for the latest Louis Vuitton regatta for the La Maddalena Trophy, but the biggest one of all just failed to come about, with Synergy leading Team New Zealand 2-0 in their best of five final before Grant Dalton's team clawed their way back to victory. Now, we talk to Grant pretty regularly, so I caught up with Synergy skipper Karol Jablonski on dockside after the final race.
Ask us if you're going to make the semis and the finals. I would say we have a chance, but we have to use it and show great sailing in order to be there.
Now, it really did show great character, because in the round robin you hadn't finished in the top four, but then stormed through to the final. What was the secret of your success?
You know, there's no secret, you know, because we just try to keep all the things simple, you know, and just keep the basics right, minimize mistakes, and we have a new crew. Actually, this is a new team. We didn't race as much as the other teams, so keep it simple, minimize mistakes, and we have guys from 10 nations on our board, and we did some sailing together, and our crew work was fine, and during the event we were gaining momentum and getting into the, in all the round robins, all our races were very, very close, and those races we won, they were close, the races we lost, they were very, very close, so we showed a solid performance, and then we tried to use it, and then once we got the quarterfinals match against Macedon Latino, we played our, pride a bit harder, and then the semis against All For One, we knew that I have to push harder from the start, and we managed to get to the semis, and then once you're going to meet one of the strongest teams in the world, or the strongest team, actually, I would say you have nothing to lose, but on the other hand, you still have to do your job properly and try to minimize mistakes, and we've done it exactly the same job. I'm very proud of my team, and even we've lost 3-2, this is very, very good results. It's not like 3-0 and losing by big margin. So all races were very close, and we pushed them quite hard, and Team New Zealand acknowledged that every race with us, it is a new challenge and very difficult game.
So what's next for Team Synergy after this success?
No, we just after this event we're gonna do, we just back to the TP52, but on the TP52 actually we have 8 Russians and 4 foreigners, and that means the team splits a little bit, and so we're gonna do TP52, and that's it. And before Dubai, we're gonna do maybe 1 or 2 practice sessions on the camp, both in Valencia or somewhere else. And then we are back into the Louis Vuitton Trophy game.
A final thought: is the team proud and happy because they reached the final, or disappointed because they were 2-0 up and didn't go on and win it?
No. We are very, very happy. This is like, now you just win. We knew we had the edge. You know, we were leading 2-0, and you are just in there. But if you race the strong team as Team New Zealand, you know, the final is first to win three races. So you still have to win three races. And you know, we made some mistakes in the third race, and small mistakes in the fourth race. And the other guys, they were gaining momentum, and obviously, you know, that wasn't, you know, not everything went our way at this time. And you have to remember that conditions here in La Maddalena today and yesterday and during all these events were very, very challenging. So we are very proud of it. We are not disappointed because you know, we're very happy about our results here. So no, all good.
Now, ICAP Leopard's been travelling around the world chasing records in recent years. Its latest campaign to beat the transatlantic time set by Mary Shah. After the crew landed, I spoke to Guy Salter, a winner with Ericsson 4 on the last Volvo Ocean race, how his latest campaign had fared.
A big, fat, resounding fail, unfortunately. We were looking good for a while, where there was a big stationary high over the UK, and when we got within 1,000 miles, we pretty much stopped. So, unfortunately, that was the record out the window. But it was pretty promising, the first part of it. So
what happens now? Is it trying to reschedule?
Well, the boat's in Europe now for a few events, including the Round Britain and Ireland race later on in the year. And I think then maybe look at it doing it again a lot later in the year or early next year again. It's kind of one of those windows of opportunity that you try and squeeze it in between the hectic schedule which ICAP Leopard has normally.
Now, can you put your finger on was it just bad information? What did the weather system change dramatically? What happened?
No, I mean, I think with the way the system's set up, there's only probably a few good opportunities a year, and you don't really know that until you're actually in amongst it. The low that we were trying to come across on was quite a young low, in the fact that it was forming over the top of us as we set off Nova Scotia. And then, you know, by the time it came over, the high was pretty stationary in the UK, and it squeezed it north, and it started to get a bit weaker and weaker, and that just wasn't quite enough. But, you know, in a similar situation, a low like that would carry you straight through, and, you know, you could have pretty brilliant breeze in a great direction all the way through. It's just one of those things. It's kind of shows you why the Mary Shah record has stood for so long, because they had a great window of weather at the time, even though in that record they went upwind for a day as well. So there's certainly the potential there to knock a lot of time off the record in an ideal situation. But the realism is, when how often do you get an ideal situation? So it's just kind of one of those deals, really.
Given how many times ICAP Leopard had broken records, did you feel as if the kind of weather had let you down a bit and you should just be able to sort of go around and keep cracking records?
I think certainly the potential is there for the boat to break that record, but again, it's just hoping that the weather plays ball. But, you know, weather's a pretty fickle thing. So I think you just have to, you know, we're pretty realistic that you can do it and you can't do it. And I think it's just, you know, if you get the right system, then you're going to knock quite some time off it. So.
Now, Guy, the other question is, obviously, for an attempt like this, you need the crew all in the right place at the right time. How hard is it to get all of you guys at any one time to attempt a record like this?
I mean, basically, the two, we organise a big core of people, and it was just availability over rolling over kind of a 6-week period. So when it was good to go, then it was, you know, just the pool of people who were available that time were able to go, which is quite good, because it, you know, it involved quite a few of the Volvo crowd. There's Freddie Shanks, Anthony Merrington from the Green Dragon, Sarah Wislang from Telefonica Blue. We also had Mikey Joubert of countless Volvos, and last time was on the Russian boat, as was Guillermo. That's a deal. So there's quite a few old faces there from Volvo experience. So it was great, really.
Bit of a rogues gallery by the sound. Once you realised you knew you weren't going to break the record, how did you then approach the rest of the trip, Guy?
Well, we still had to get home, because a lot of us are now in the airport having a mad dash from Cornwall after dropping off at 3 o'clock this morning and getting in a taxi up to Heathrow Airport because we've got an event today on Sardinia. So it's, you know, it's a pretty small window of opportunity to really get us all. So now we're back on shore. We're just thinking about the next event and getting that done so then we can get home and cut the lawns in a week's time.
Excellent. Just in time for Wimbledon and the cricket. Now, final thought.
Well, hang on. And the World Cup, of course.
How could I forget? A final thought, mate. What is your next event? Who are you sailing with?
I'm sailing on a beautiful boat. It's a Wally 96 called Magic Carpet 2, and it'll be a very pleasant time in Porto Cervo for the next week. So it's a very different to the freeze-dried. We'll be having some fine dining and some lovely gentlemen sailing.
All in preparation to see the World Cup, the latter stage of the World Cup. So any tips on who might do well?
Well, there's only one winner, and that's England. There's no doubt about it. And I think I'm so assured I'm going to go out and use as much of these If England Win free TV offers that seem to be around at the moment. So I'm going to hopefully count on Rooney and the boys to do the business this time.
Well, joined as we so regularly are by Matt Sheehan, the technical editor of Yachting World. And Matt, you've just been pottering around the Solent, haven't you? Why are we talking to you this week? What was so good about this particular potter?
Well, I must say it was quite a potter, Guy. I was sailing aboard an extraordinary boat. It's a 60-foot trifoiler called Lidroptère. Now, you may remember that Lidroptère, which is Alan Thibault's boat, broke the outright world sailing speed record back in 2009 and hit 51.36 knots over 500 metres and managed a staggering 50.17 knots over one nautical mile to make themselves the undisputed speed kings. And it's an amazing boat. It's been around for a long time, as many listeners will know, but it's on a bit of a tour. Most world record breaking boats are generally, impressive though they are, one-trick ponies that are designed just for one specific route down a run, just to get that magic top speed. But Lidroptère has got much bigger goals, or her team have got much bigger goals and ambitions for this boat. And they're actually, rather extraordinarily, on a European tour. They left Brest, they sailed out of Brest with the record-breaking boat, and they've sailed up to Cowes. They're going to spend a week in Cowes doing some charging around the Solent, which we were very fortunate enough to go and join them on, and it was just amazing. So the Solent's a very small place when you're doing 29 knots and there's a lot of boats out, but we joined them for that, and I had a chat with skipper Alan Thibault about what his aspirations were and what he was hoping to achieve.
So Alan Thibault, skipper of Lidroptère, you are officially the fastest man in the world with your crew, and your boat is the fastest boat in the world since you broke the record. What have you been doing since you broke that record?
Yes, first we stay humble, because very high speed is a job and we are part lucky with our old machine, but I'm proud with my team to sail the fastest boat in the world, and especially I'm proud to be in Cowes because I love English people. I love their passion for sailing. I love their spirit, their humor. We are nice under the sun. It's a good joke.
But it's strange to see the world's fastest sailing boat on a tour of Europe. I mean, I gather you've just sailed up from Brest, you brought the boat to Cowes, and then you're off to Kiel. So what's the object of this cruise around the channel?
But first I would like to share the project with European people. We have a lot of requests in England, in Germany, in Spain, in Italy, and it's nice trip to learn offshore. There's two goals: first, to share; second, to learn offshore, flying in waves. It's a very nice. I love this flying carpet feeling.
It is quite incredible. We've just been out on the water, flying around at 25 knots, scaring some other boats out there in the Solent. The Solent feels very small at 25 knots, but this is a very versatile boat, isn't it? This isn't just a boat that will just do speed records. Are you out to prove that this boat can do offshore miles?
What is important for me is not to be a king. What is important is the way. to be. We started with little things, with one engineer. Now the boat is fastest, but I have a lot of respect for all the pedestrian. We call them pedestrian. We met on the boat. There is a lot of boats here. It's wonderful to sail in the middle of all these regatta. It's really a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, what's the longer term goal? Because you've got two more boats that you're planning for. What's the goal?
At the goal, I talk with my partner, Swiss banker Thierry Lombard, Audemars Piguet, and the ultimate dream for us is to turn around the planet in 40 days, and we're building a scale model called the Lidropter.ch. We will launch this boat in August in Geneva, and after we will decide the design, trimaran or catamaran, for the maxi boat. And I think we will try to turn around the planet in three years, I think.
Really, and this will be all on hydrofoils. Be the first time it's ever been done.
Yes, because we have on the flight simulator, we have a lot of data. At the moment, I think we are able to make a good design for a maxi boat, 30 meters long, 30 meters wingspan, 20 tons. And I think for me, I have two choices: roses in my garden or turning around the planet. And I think I would choose turning around the planet.
Now, just remind us, what's the current world speed record that you set? The highest speed that you set for your world record?
Oh, the peak speed?
Yeah.
The top speed was 55.45 knots, like over 100 kilometers. And I think we are close to the limit. And I hope there is no injuries or accident for guys who will try. Yesterday evening, I talked with Paul Larsen, because we have the same spirit as in rugby. We have a lot of respect for the other competitors, especially for Macquarie Innovation with Tim Dado, and for Paul Larsen too. And I hope there is no problem for them to try to break this record. It's a hard job to do, I think.
But you were saying to me earlier on that you feel that we're in new territory now, that actually once you get to 50 knots, it starts to get a bit dangerous.
Really, it's another planet. Over 50 all the time. It's a hard job. All the measurement systems are late, the instrument, piloting only with stomach. And I think it's a little bit dangerous.
But when you set off to do a record around the world, you won't be sailing at 50 knots. What I presume you won't. What kind of speeds are you looking to try and achieve offshore?
Offshore with 3 meters, waves of 3 meters on a swell of 3 meters, the maximum average speed will be between 38 and 42 knots.
So still pretty high, though.
Yes, but I think we can have a tea on this kind of speed.
Now, you talked about Lidropter.ch. That's the first next step in your program. When do you hope to launch that boat?
We will launch this scale model. It's a lab. And we'll launch the boat, I think, in the end of August. And Yachting World is welcome on board.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. And so when you launch at the end of August, and then you're going to do a series of tests, are you? Where are you going to do your testing?
First, we will do the test in front of Geneva. I would like the record of the lake in September or October. And after, we will make trials during winter in waves. And maybe we will travel with this boat between Hong Kong, Dubai and New York.
Oh, really? But this boat is a laboratory for the big offshore, the maxi,
yes,
multi-hull that you're planning to do.
Yes, but we would like to share flying carpet first in Europe this summer, in September too. And next year, we would like with Lidropter to cross the Pacific between Los Angeles and Honolulu to break the Trans-Pacific record. And with Lidropter.ch, we would like to share with other countries, United States. We have a lot of requests in Asia, too, in Hong Kong, maybe in Dubai. a heavy program. We are lucky, I think.
Mm. Now, I mean, it's an interesting time because at the moment, at the other end of the scale, lots of people are seeing international moths flying around on their foils all over the place. Are you excited to see that foiling is catching on?
Yes, but it was exactly the same story in the sky 100 years ago. The transition was from Archimedean balloons to aircraft. Everybody was laughing when they saw people trying to fly with wooden structure aircraft crashed all the time. On the water, it was exactly the same story. We are in a transition between Archimedean boat, met a lot of crossovers in Solent, and we are flying now. Moths are flying. I think it's future, really. When you are flying on an hydropter, the 2/3 of the drag is in the water, and everybody needs to fly now, as in the sky 100 years ago. It's exactly the same story, I think.
Well, it's certainly catching a lot of people's imagination, and thank you very much for a very exciting ride second time. I can't wait to come see the new boat.
Thanks a lot, Matthew.
Okay, that's it for this week. Join us again next time on Jibe Talkin', when we'll have all the latest from the world of sailing. In the meantime, for the latest on the Volvo Ocean Race, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.